trust you.
Hallelujah. Father God, we do thank you and we praise you. We magnify you and we do trust you. When we have things going through our life that it looks like that there is no way out, we thank you, Father, that you're always there. You're always helping us. You're always standing beside us. You're always leading us and guiding us and showing us the way. Father, we just thank you today for each and every person that's here in this place and each and every person that's watching us online. Father God, we just thank you today as we minister your word, that your word will not return void, but your word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, we thank you that that word will bring forth life on the inside of us. But Father God, help us not just hide it for ourselves, but Father God, help us to take that word and share it with others and help others. Go out to the highways and the byways and the people that are lost and down and just given up and help them, encourage them and teach them and help us all to understand it's not just about us, but it's about many other people out there that are hurting, that are looking for somebody that knows the answer, and help us to go out and take that answer to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that today we come not in our own strength and not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability. We thank you, Father, today as we minister your word. We thank you, Father, they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and helps us to be able to teach with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Christ. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing here and around the world. We thank you, Father, for mom and dad as they're there in Colorado. We thank you for the healing anointing that's very strong tonight as they minister to the people that are hurting. And we thank you, Father, for reclaiming the 91st Psalm over them as they come back home tonight. We thank you, Father, for giving them rest. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. You know, I really like that song that he was singing, that my God's big enough, my God's strong enough to take care of everything going on in your life. But just because he's big enough, just because he's strong enough, doesn't mean that we allow him to do it. Then that's why it talks about trust in him. And, you know, we have to trust in God. I mean, he's big enough and strong enough and he wants to, but we have to let him. You know, God can't do anything unless we let him do it. Amen. Well, this morning, actually, I had the privilege to minister to the students, employees, and everyone that were watching us online. And we talked about the devil's bad, God's good, which is pretty much the way it is. You know, we say all the time, we always say God is good, you know. But maybe you should actually point out that the devil's bad. I know it sounds, you know, simplistic. I know it sounds like that's really, you know, is that really all you have to say? But the devil is bad. And he does come to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. We talked about that, talked about resisting the devil. But I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to talk about something that I shared a little bit at the end of my sermon this morning. I was looking at 2 Timothy 1:7, and the Lord showed me a couple of things. I'm going to share it with you for a few minutes here tonight, and we'll try to dismiss on time, because Dad will be happy about that. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And we all know the scripture. We've all read it. We've all quoted it. You know, but what's interesting and part about it is, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, obviously fear comes from the devil. Now, let's think about this. And you know, and I was thinking about some of the teachings going on right now about the last days or whatever. But, you know, I found that a lot of ministers right now are using the fear tactic of ministry. But now, if God hasn't given us fear, isn't that kind of wrong? Now, I'm not here to judge, but I'm just throwing that out there. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We shouldn't fear. If you know God, you shouldn't fear, first of all. Now, but does it mean you shouldn't fear about anything? Because I know a lot of people who have fears and phobias. Phobias, the word for fear, makes it sound more scientific. I guess that's why I have a scientific word. You know, but there's all kinds of phobias. You know, fear of walking across bridges is one of them. You know, that's a common fear people have. But most people I know have fear of heights and fear of closed spaces, and so that's why we want to take them up in an elevator to a high place and, you know, and talk to him. But, you know, we shouldn't have a fear about anything, because I always say, if you're afraid of something, that means you're giving place to the devil in one area of your life. And there's probably other areas you probably are too. You know, and it actually bothers me when people say the word, well, I'm afraid about this or I'm afraid about that. Then I always say, I'm afraid about the big bad wolf. You know, and they look at me like, are you an idiot? But I mean, if I'm going to be afraid about things, you know, then I mean, why do we say that we're afraid? We're only afraid because we don't know our God. And we don't know that our God is big enough. And we don't know our God is strong enough to take care of everything in our life. See, when fear comes, it's not from God. It's from the devil. And you have to recognize that, because so many times that we go through times in our life where we feel afraid or we don't know what to do or we start to panic. You know, that's not from God. God doesn't want you to panic. God doesn't want you to try to figure out what you're going to do. God wants you to trust in him. Now, looking at the word fear, you know, many people go back to the to all the original stuff. I just tried to look in the English, you know, find it from the English, because if I can. Fear, you know, synonym of fear is anxiety, concern, despair, dismay, doubt, dread, horror, jitters, panic, scare, suspicion, terror, uneasiness, worry. Those are all, you know, things about fear. Another definition is the creeps. All right. Fright, a funk, a nightmare, a phobia. I mean, those are all fears. And we've had a lot of those, you know, but that's what fear is. But what is fear not? You know, because fear not is in the Bible many times. We've read fear not. Usually it comes from an angel of the Lord. I guess it's a commonplace when an angel comes down from a most high that most humans fear, because the first word out of every angel's mouth that I ever heard was fear not. Anyone else read that in the Bible? So maybe that's the first word. Maybe that's what angels do. They just say fear not before they speak. But the reason that they say fear not is because people get afraid about a lot of things. You know, it starts, I mean, as a kid, maybe we were afraid of monsters under our bed, and we were afraid of this. You know, I happen to be afraid of eating sweet potatoes and other green vegetables that I didn't like. I really wasn't afraid of it. I just said I was afraid of it, you know, because I didn't like them, you know. And most people say, well, you don't like sweet potatoes? No, I just don't. I mean, something about it makes me throw up, literally. But we won't go there. All right. So I decided, well, if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, then he's given us the opposite of that, right? So whatever the opposite of fear is, what God has given us. So here's some things God has given you. Assuredness, calmness, cheer, confidence, contentment, ease, encouragement, faith. See, many people say the opposite of fear is faith, and that's one of the definitions, but there's many other ones. Happiness, joy, trust, calm, comfort, love, courage, unconcern. That's what God's given you. He's given not just faith, you know, but he's given us the, you know, the power to be confident, to know that, you know what, no matter that everybody else is getting afraid, we don't have to be afraid. We can trust in our God. We know that because we have money. In God, we trust. It says right here, believe your money. And if you don't believe your money, give it to me and I'll believe it. Now, think about it, if you have a credit card or debit card, it doesn't say that on there, unless you have the In God We Trust credit card or debit card brought to you by Craig Co. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have a debit or credit card. But if you want me to have one, I will, for enough money that if you want to loan to me, I can create my own company. Oh, no, sorry, no loan, give to me. You know. But, you know, God has given us joy and happiness and calmness. Now, the scripture itself, you know, says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But it starts out and it says, but he has given us power. You know, now I looked up the word power because I'm using my dictionary. Actually, it's thesaurus.com, you know, because, you know, I can. Power, you know, it, a lot of people, when you think of power, you know, we think of a power plant or whatever, but it's capability, capacity, function, influence, potential, skill, talent, all right? You know, effectiveness, endowment. So he's given, another word is gift. He's given us the power. He's given us the ability. See, we have the ability to come against the devil. All right, we have the ability. But the devil also has antonyms here. Impotence, an inability, incapacity, incompetent, lack, weakness, failure, loss, uselessness, loser, disability, impairment, infirmity, surrender, yielding. See, that's what the devil tries to bring to you. Tell you that you're not good enough. Tell you you can't make it. There's no way. Tell you that there is no way. We think that the opposite of power is weakness. And it is, but there's so many other things. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. But you know what? We just sung about this. Dan didn't know what I was going to say. But, you know, maybe I don't feel strong enough, but it's not about who I feel, because my God is big enough. That my God's strong enough. You know, that I might be weak, but I'm strong through Christ. I'm strong because Christ did it for me. He died on the cross. He gave me the power. He gave me the authority in his name. So I might not be big enough. I might not be strong enough. But in all reality, we can't defeat the devil with our own physical strength. Even if you think, well, I might not be strong physically, but I have a strong mind. Well, you know, this is like mind over matter. You know, your mind doesn't really matter. Unless you have the mind of Christ, then it does matter. I mean, it doesn't matter how smart you are. You're not going to outwhip the devil. Well, I'm just going to be smart. I'm going to hide from it. He won't be able to find me because I was hide-and-go-seek champion in the first grade. In fact, it took 5 years for them to find me. I'm just kidding. You know, you can't hide. You can't run. You know, the devil is out to get you. But God has given you the power and the ability and the influence to go out and make it in life. Now, the next thing he says, you know, power, and he says love. Now, we should all know about love. I mean, love is the whole essence of the new covenant that we have. We only have two rules: to love God and love people. And then it tells us if we don't love people, we can't love God. And in fact, it says the first is like the last. They're the same. We have to love people and have to love God. And the Bible tells us that God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if God is love, and we're made in the image of God, if we're God-minded and God-conscious, then love should be something that we always have. We know about love. In fact, I don't care what generation you grew up, there were love songs on the radio all the time. You know, like Love is a Battlefield and things like that, you know. Anyway, I'm sure there's other songs that were more lovely about that. Definition of love is affection, appreciation, devotion, emotion, fondness, friendship, infatuation, lust, passion, respect, taste, tenderness, yearning. You know, there's all kinds of different loves, as we know, cherishing, devoutness. But the opposite of love is what the devil tries to bring. He tries to bring dislike and enmity, hate, hatred, ill will, indifference, neglect, apathy, sorrow, unhappiness. Man, the devil will try to bring that to your life all the time. He'll try to make you not happy. How can you be not happy? You know, just because you didn't have Cheerios this morning or whatever, woke up on the wrong side of the bed and didn't have Cheerios, you know. See, here's the deal. It really bothers me to read people's Facebooks or other social media. I mean, Mondays, you know, we're having another bad Monday. Well, maybe you should decide to have a good Monday. Maybe before you go to work, you should put, I'm going to have a good Monday. You know, and it's interesting that you know, how our attitude is. A lot of times that we don't have the attitude of, this is the day that the Lord has made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, and I was reading the story about how somebody was having a bad day until they ran across someone who's having a worse day, actually having a worse life. Because they were going to go into a place, and this guy's digging through the trash can looking for food. And he's homeless. You know, and your bad Monday doesn't seem too bad, you know, and that you just, you know, just because some people are mean and rude, and people are going to be mean and rude. I mean, you should know that. Especially if you work with people. How many of you work with people? Well, then you're going to know that somebody is going to be mean and rude to you that day, or if you talk to people, because especially if it's Monday. Because everyone doesn't have the revelation that you can have a good Monday. You know, now here's the deal. You know, this will think this, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I am. But, you know, Christians, obviously the one day of the week that the Christians, you know, they become more religious is Sunday, you know, and they go to church and they spend time with God. And so at least they should have got their tank, you know, a little halfway filled up. So why should Monday be the worst day of the week? Wouldn't it be like Friday? After you drained your tank all week long? If you're having a bad Monday, I feel sorry for the rest of your week. I mean, seriously. If you're having a bad Monday, it only gets worse. But why do we have a bad day? We have a bad day is because we don't know our Christ. We don't even know what we have. Because our God's big enough so we don't have to have a bad day in our life. We only have a bad day because the devil's a liar. And he tries to put hatred. Man, you know, there's so much hatred in this world. Everybody hates everybody. Check off the internet. I mean, if you didn't hate somebody, you can check the internet, and then pretty soon you're gonna find someone you hate. Now, my grandfather told me that not to use the word hate. My parents didn't tell me that. My grandfather did. Said hate's a very strong word, and I don't like the word hate. It says you should only use the word hate in context to the devil. Everybody else you shouldn't hate because we're supposed to love people. Now, we might not like what they do, but we have to love them. We might not like, you know, because they're a little deceived when it comes to their theology or their life, but you know what? Jesus died for them, too. Jesus cares about them, too. You know, instead of hating them, just feel sorry for them because they're letting the devil dominate their life. You know, and I found out that when you're around somebody that's hateful, you tend to get more hateful. Now, there are some times when it comes to the business relationship, you just can't get out of it. So the best you can do is just be nice. You know, and it's hard. You know, but around your own personal relationship, sometimes the best thing to do is just get out of the room. Especially if you have a temper and, you know, you know, because it's hard to take so much hate without lashing out. You know, but the thing is, what would Jesus do? I mean, we only saw Jesus lash out one time, and that was the money changers there in the temple. But he didn't have breakfast that morning, by the way, if you noticed that. The fig tree that he went to get breakfast, there was no figs. He lashed out the fig tree first, and then he lashed out the money changers. It's a true story. Read the Bible. Moral story, eat breakfast. No. You know, in essence, I mean, that's really the only time that we really see Jesus lashing out, and it's because they were a bunch of crooks. It really was the case. But he still didn't hate them. He didn't hate them. He didn't kill them. He just turned their tables over. He just made it hard for them to do business. You know, but the thing about it is, he didn't hate those people, and he understood why they did what they did, because they can make money doing it. You know, and it was a business for them. But, you know, he was like, well, this is the temple. It's not a place to do business. It's a place to worship God. You know, but the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't hate people. We should love people. And if you can't love people, then I don't know if you know God. And some people say, well, it's hard to love people. Is it really hard to love people? Is it really, so it's hard to serve Christ too? It's only hard because you make it hard. Because we say, well, that's not my nature. Is it not your nature? So what, you have a sin nature? I've heard people tell me, well, you know I'm Italian. Okay. I don't discriminate against Italians, You know, what does it matter? Or, you know, said, well, I'm just a hot-headed German. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're a Pop-Tart. You know, it doesn't matter what you came from or where you came from. And, you know, I don't. It's funny because, you know, a lot of people, we don't know their heritage until they get mad. I don't know what I am. You know, actually, I guess we're Irish, you know, but I don't really know. I guess Irish people have tempers too, but I don't really have much of a temper that much because, you know what? Why? What does it solve a whole lot? It doesn't really solve a lot. Now, it doesn't mean I never get mad. No, it doesn't mean I never get mad. I have gotten mad before. You know, we've all come short of the glory of God. But some people come short all the time. You know, but because you're short-tempered. You know, you still believe in that long-suffering stuff, you know, whatever. You know, but the fact of the matter is that God has given us love. He wants to love people. And I found out that if you love people, it's a whole lot easier to win them. Hatred never wins anything. Man, you know, the Christianity, you know, the people who preach hatred, they don't seem to win any souls, or at least I don't see it. But we can love people because people just want to be loved. You realize that there's people that have some weird doctrines and different things like that, you know, and they do some, you know, done some weird things, but most of the time it's because they want to be loved and accepted by somebody. And they're looking for some group that's going to love and accept them. And if you don't, they're going to find another one. Do you realize what many people turn from the church because they don't feel loved and accepted by the church? I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church universal. There's a lot of hatred. A lot of hatred. Well, you know, and people get all caught up on everybody's lifestyle and things like that. But here's what I have to tell you. The church is for the sinner, not for the Christian. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is for the Christian too, but what, we were all sinners at one point in time. And we expect someone to walk in the church to be perfect. You know, well, if you're going to be perfect before you come to church, you might as well not come. You know, and so many times that we get on to people because they're not the perfect person. You know, but we're not perfect. We all come short. Because the devil's a liar. And he's out to tempt us. He's out to pour hatred on us. You know, but that's the whole point. The last thing that God gives us is a sound mind. Or peace is another word for a sound mind, you know. And so peace is accord, friendship, love, reconciliation, truth, unity. And so, you know, those are some things. But not having peace is disagreement, hate, hatred, discord, distress, frustration, upset, worry. I mean, you know, a lot of times that our mind is not peaceful. We're worried about everything. Worried, well, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I? 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 You know, that's all about you. You know, everyone's trying to figure out how they're going to do something. Well, the way you do it is you trust God. Now, Paul, what he did, he told Timothy that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but what you have to do is you have to stir up the gift, the God that's on the inside of you. And that's where you're going to find the love and the peace and the, you know, the power and everything you need when you stir up those gifts. You have the power and you have the ability to come against whatever Satan's trying to do. But sometimes you have to remind yourself of what Christ did on Calvary. You have to remind yourself of what's been given to you by Christ Jesus. You have to remind yourself, because if you don't remind yourself, all you think about is what the devil is throwing at you. You know, we can't see the forest for the trees, because everything around us, about us, doesn't seem good. It seems that everything around us is not good. It's just, sometimes you just feel you can't take it anymore. So quit taking it. Start trusting in God. Because, you know, like saying, your God's big enough. Your God's strong enough. Your God still has the whole world in his hands. He's still in control. And he's given us the power and authority through Christ. Through Christ. Because of Christ. You know, it's because of Christ that you can do anything. It's because of Christ. Not because of yourself. Not because that you have given the power and an authority in your own self. You're given a power and authority through Christ. And because of Christ. You know, so we have to understand that. We have to understand it's not because we're special. All right? You know, Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. See, God supplies all your needs because of Christ. All right? It's all because of Christ. And so how do we get that? We have to be Christ-minded. We have to know what Christ did for us. Now, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And, as I studied and meditated on the other day, and I shared this morning, you know, sometimes what happens is we put the emphasis on I can do all things. And you can do all things, but technically, you can do all things because of God. All right? So I would say it like this. God can do all things through me because of Christ. And so it doesn't put the emphasis on yourself, puts the emphasis on God. Because too many times we're emphasizing our own self. And we're trying to figure out, how are we going to be able to believe? And how are we going to be able to, and yes, ultimately you have to believe, but the way you can believe is you quit thinking about how you think and start thinking about how God thinks and what the Word says. Put the emphasis on God and not on you. Because I believe too many Christians are trying to do everything themselves, even though they don't mean to. I mean, it's not their intention, but you know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all my cares upon the Lord. So really, my cares don't become my cares anymore when I give them to God, correct? They now become God's cares. Now, I joke to say God doesn't care about your cares, because he doesn't care. He does care about them, but it doesn't bother him. He's not staying up all night long trying to figure out about your cares. So why are you? The only reason you're staying up all night long trying to figure about your cares is because you haven't cast them over to him. Because if he has your cares, then you don't care. Correct? Because the care keeper is taking care of your cares. All right? But if you're caring, then you're staying up all night. But when you begin to care and stay up all night, you're probably getting over into fear. Fear didn't come from God. You're probably trying to figure out, how is this going to happen? You know, and that's when people get in a tizzy, is when they are holding on to everything. You know, in a lot of ways, in our own life, sometimes there are certain people that internalize everything. They won't share with everybody else, and they just hold it in. You know, then they can't handle it at some point in some time. But that's how a lot of Christians are, is that we're not getting rid of our cares when God wants us to get rid of them. But for whatever reason, we hold it in. And we say, and you can tell me, I mean, you can go to the, you know, the Cast Your Care service. I mean, you can go to, you know, old time Pentecostal where we all come to the altar and cast our cares. You know, then afterwards, everyone comes to the front, grabs their cares, and goes home with them. Because I found out people go to service like that, and that night, they can't go to sleep because they're worried about something. You know, and then I found out there's certain people, if they're not worried about their cares, then they're worried about somebody else's cares. Because they got to care about something, right? Or they get on Facebook, hey, does anybody else have some cares I can worry about here? You know, because I seem to lost all mine. I know that sounds funny, but sometimes I think it's true. You know, the deal is sometimes you care too much. You know, and I don't mean, you know, we should love one another and care about one another. I understand that. But you know what? We got to cast our cares upon the Lord. Because I believe that that's really when fear comes in. When we're holding on to stuff. When we're trying to figure out how are we going to make it in life. Especially, and the reason I keep pointing out the song is because there's so many times that we sing all these songs and we don't do what we sing. And we talk about being a doer of the word, but we, you know, we sing, my God's big enough, my God is strong enough to take care of everything in your life. And then after a service, hey, pastor, can I talk to you? I'm going through all these things and I just don't know what to do. And you were the guy out front dancing around. You know, doing all this, I'm like, did you listen? Did you even hear what you say? Because you were the ones, you were singing with the song. Oh, I was just singing words. I was too much in the spirit to listen. And you know, that's a joke, but I think some people, that's how they are. The reason we sing these songs is because, you know, especially word-based songs. I mean, we, you know, if you're not going to get it, we might as well just sit up here and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star before we minister, you know, because some people might get more out of it. You know, but we sing about our God's big enough, our God's strong enough to take care of, you know, care of everything in our life, and then we want to know what to do. What should I do? Why don't you let God take care of your stuff? Well, how do I do that? You don't have to close your eyes. You can, you know, just open your mouth and say, Lord, I got too much on me. Now take 98% of it. No. Take 95. No. Here, I can't handle it anymore. Decide to give up. Some of you, and it's hard, I know a lot of you are used to always doing everything and you know, and figuring it all out, but sometimes you just got to, I mean, well, when it comes to God, you got to give up. Give up what you're trying to do, because, you know, why should you even try to do it? Why should you spend time trying to do something when God already said, I want to take care of that for you? No, His yoke is easy, His burden's light. It's not tough to be a Christian. It's tough not to be a Christian. Think about people who don't have no hope. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They don't have anyone to cast their cares on. In fact, they usually try to cast their cares on other people. Hey, can you talk to me? The reason people want to talk, and I'm not saying you can't talk to people. I'm just saying is people, they don't know what to do. They're trying to figure it out. Now, I'm not saying you have it all figured out, all right? And you don't. We only have a certain capacity, but, you know, you can figure this out. Just give it to God. You know, and I know, you know, that's my grandfather's mentality. There are so many times that Even my grandmother would even ask her, well, honey, what about this and what about that? And he's like, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I just gave it to God. I mean, I just trust in God. Isn't that what it says in the Word? Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in God. You know, a lot of us, we say we trust in God, and we can read our money, and God we trust, but do you really trust in God? Because if you trust in God, you're sold out. You said, you know what, God? I can't do it. You can. I'm just going to let you do it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, we just thank you for this little short little message about casting our cares upon you and not being afraid of what the devil tries to bring to us. And Father God, we just thank you for giving us the ability and the strength to be able to stand strong whenever the devil tries to get us off our game, when he tries to destroy our life. Help us to understand that we can trust in you. We can lean not to our own understanding. And in all our ways, we can acknowledge you, and you're going to direct our path, and you're going to help us. You're going to lead us. You're going to guide us. You're going to show us the way. Father God, we just thank you for peace. Peace right now over everyone that's here, everyone that's watching. Father God, those things that they have been going through and trying to deal with and trying to figure out how they're going to do it, Father God, help them understand that they don't have to do it, but they can let you do it for them. Help us understand that they can cast those cares upon you. And Father God, we just thank you to help them to do that in their own time, to get rid of those cares and not to pick them back up. And every time, just understand that's what they can do. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here tonight, and we thank you for giving them strength. We thank you, Father, for helping them, for leading them, for guiding them, and we just thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. God's a good God, amen, amen. Amen.